Hello and welcome to the Roach Coach Podcast, the journey into the new metal canon. My name is Lauren Kozlowski. With me, as always, Miss Jennifer Bloomer.
Hello.
And Matt Nas.
Hey, Lauren.
Today we are taking on the most requested album. This is the album that literally when we started the podcast, episode one, we were talking to people and they're like, when you doing Power Man? When you doing Power Man? When's Power Man happening? It's happening right now. Your dream is coming true.
That's right. Power Man 5000. Tonight, the stars revolt.
Jenny, when did this album come out?
This album came out on July 20th, 1999.
Wow.
I know.
Oh, my. And as I like to say, right in the thick of it.
Right in the thick of it. When all of these albums were coming out.
That's a new segment.
Yeah. Right in the thick of it. And Jenny, do you have any relationship with this album?
Yes, finally.
All right.
Whoa, shocker. I purchased this album from Best Buy. I don't remember what I paid for it. But
you
don't know,
you probably got a sweet discount.
I probably did. I was able to purchase it in 1999 or probably more like 2000 when I got it. But I loved this album. I listened to it all the time. I have a very vivid memory of driving, my parents driving to my grandma's house. She lived about an hour north. And I remember there's one specific like long turn that we were going around when one of the songs was playing. And I just was imagining that I was in the band and that people would ask me about it. And I'd be like, it's not a big deal. It's like not hard to balance school with being in Power Man 5000. It's like humble in my fantasy. But yeah, I really liked this album a lot. It is a concept album and it's very heavy on the sci-fi. Mm-hmm. And I've always been a sucker for old kind of cheesy sci-fi a la like The Twilight Zone or like Star Trek, the original series. Things like that, Outer Limits.
I love
Doctor Who. So this was like right in my wheelhouse.
Right.
How about you?
I don't have any real relationship with this album. I was definitely aware of Power Man. I knew the singles. When Worlds Collide was very aware of that song. Nobody's Real, I was aware of that one. Beyond that, they weren't really on my radar. Actually, the thing I knew about them the most was I was getting Rolling Stone magazine for a long time in high school and college, and their albums were consistently panned by Rolling Stone.
Yes.
This one, I believe, got 2 stars.
I think that you are correct. Yes, and, 2 stars.
And its follow-up, which I believe they scrapped and it didn't actually come out. Like it was sent out to reviewers. All the reviewers gave it bad reviews. I think Rolling Stone gave it 1.5 and they just threw it away and didn't release it. And when they asked them why, I think Spider-One, who we're going to get to, said, yeah, it was too much like the last one. We had to try something different.
And didn't their label blame it on 9/11 though?
I'm sure.
I think they tried to blame it on 9/11, but that was, I know, the 9/11 bump comes back.
Oh man, the 9/11 bump, the 9/11.
In the thick of it.
Yeah.
When all this was popular, I read
an article today on MTV.com where they were talking about 21 Pilots, who apparently are the biggest rock band in America.
Yep.
I'm vaguely familiar with them at best. And they are apparently a rap rock. I don't know if we're going to do them on the show, you guys.
Do we want to play a moment of them for context?
For context? I mean, sure. I mean, I barely know anything about them. Do you know anything?
I have not heard a lick of 21 Pilots.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I can almost guarantee once you hear this song, you'll be like, oh, yeah, I heard that in a mall.
Well, I do hang out at the mall a lot.
Oh, man, I'm all the time. You know, I'm mall ratting.
When I'm not here, I'm at the mall. All my friends are
heathens, take it slow. What?
Wait,
is this from Suicide Squad?
This isn't new metal.
This is from Suicide Squad.
Oh, God. Trash movie.
Oh, I guess I've heard this song.
All right, here's another one. Oh, yeah.
I hate this.
This is terrible.
Yeah.
How is this considered rap? I mean,
I'll jump ahead.
Is he going to rap?
How is this considered rock music?
I don't know. How is this rock at all?
This isn't rock and roll.
This isn't rock.
It's not. It's certainly not rock music.
Two old people in their 30s are like, thumbs down.
Yeah.
It sounded like Panic at the Disco or something.
Yeah, much more in that vein.
Worse than Panic at the Disco.
Yeah, I know.
21 Pilots. You're not welcome on the Roach Coach podcast.
Not on the Roach Coach podcast.
Matt, do you have any history with this album?
Yeah. I do have history with
Ooh.
This album.
Ooh, tell us more.
I absolutely have history with Worlds Collide. It was a city club favorite. They would play this. And I think it has to do with him being Rob Zombie's brother.
Yeah.
Because, you know, industrial goth music at that time. You had White Zombie as a driving force. And then Worlds Collide was a upbeat rock song that people could move rhythmically to.
Right, yeah.
Not dance. I'm never going to say we danced at City Club.
Well,
we rhythmically moved.
I have a Power Man 5000 City Club story.
Ooh, this album.
One of the very few times I went to City Club, I went with a bunch of my friends. This was probably 2004, 2005.
And I forgot, for context, City Club is probably the longest running dance club in the city at this point.
Yes.
It is a goth industrial dance club that is located in the basement / ballroom of the Ramada, which I think just got bought up and it's the Leland now.
That's right.
But it was the Ramada when I was going, and now it's called the Leland. And it's pretty much the longest running dance club. And it is, if you just want to dance and be left alone, it is the most beautiful place on earth.
No sarcasm. One of the times I felt most free in my life was just dancing at City Club because nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
Really? You walk into this place.
Okay.
And it looks like just your average like dive bar.
Mm-hmm.
And then you walk around a corner and you go through a doorway and you are like in the fucking Crow.
Whoa.
It's insane. It's insane.
The first time I went, there was a guy minus the head in a Cenobite outfit from Hellraiser.
I know what you mean, but I like to imagine there was a guy in a Cenobite outfit with no head.
No head.
Wow. The closest I've ever gotten to that was when I went to see Nine Inch Nails the first time. There were two women. I think they were women. Don't quote me. They had shaved their heads to the back of their scalp, but they had long ponytails down their backs. And they also had tight, tight corsets, fingernails about at least an inch long. Not an inch, maybe like more than an inch.
Yeah.
So how long is that? How long am I holding
it? Probably that's 4 inches. Like
4 inches? Yeah. Then they have 4 inches long. I'm bad at measuring. Good at talking about nu metal. And they looked like creatures out of like Alien or Hellraiser. And my buddy was like, yeah, those are goths. And I was like, I feel like they're more than goths. I feel like it's an understatement.
We got to get you to City Club one of these days.
I should go one time.
You should go. We should actually go. I think we'd have a great
time. They would play when Worlds Collide. Oh, if they were still playing it then. I'm sure they would. So my friends and I were there.
Yes.
And we paid this guy whose name is Chuck Vroom, I think. Real name.
Chuck Vroom, like V-R-O-O-M?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. We paid him $5 to take his shirt off and dance to Power Man 5000. And he did. He really went for it. And wow. It was great. Thanks, City Club.
I love
it. Okay. That's great.
Yes. Well, I'm glad to hear that I'm not the only one who has a City Club Power Man 5000 experience.
Well, there we go. And so, yeah, I have a copy of the album with us today.
Yes, you do.
Did some Lauren thrifting. Lauren's Big Thrifts. I went to this place, Second and Charles, which is a resale bookstore, movies, vinyl, CDs, comic books, video games, everything. And there's two locations. I'm going to do a quick plug for them.
Okay.
They're located in basically where there used to be a Borders in Utica and a Borders in Auburn Hills. And they filled up the spot. It's full of books and movies and everything. And I got a bunch of new metal CDs for pretty cheap. That one, I think there's a price on it.
There is. It was $5.99.
It's a pretty good deal for this album.
That's a pretty good deal.
Retail price, $9.98. So you saved a few bucks.
There we go. But yeah, and so if you look at the liner notes, Jenny, which I'm sure you already have.
Well, I'm already very familiar with.
Yeah, it's basically a comic book.
Mm-hmm.
All the lyrics are in there. But who is in Power Man 5000? We got some names here.
Well, first and foremost, I think we can agree, and the only member of Power Man 5000 to stick with it forever and ever, is Spider One.
Worst name, right? Terrible name.
Spider One.
Spider One. Not a great name. Yeah. Not a great name.
You know what? Not the worst name we've come across on this show,
though. Oh, that's still Swifty Shell Shock.
Shifty Shell Shock.
Shifty.
Well, yeah, basically. AKA Shifty Switchblade.
Oh yeah, that's still the worst.
Yeah.
Let's see. Who else was here? We also had Adam Williams, who was playing lead guitar. I'm reading their real names from here on out. Dorian Hartsong. He did a little bass action for us. Alan, who did...
Alan?
I think
wasn't he like
M33?
Which one?
Wait a minute. Yeah, they should have their stage names in the book. They have their picture with them.
They do. They have so much going on in here. So we have Spider 1, Al 3. Al 3.
Okay.
That's our drum boy.
Okay.
That's Alan.
Alan, a.k.a. Al 3.
Dorian 27. That's the Dorian I mentioned before.
So basically they just put a number. So wait, is Spider 1's real name just Spider?
No.
Okay.
That's not his real name.
All right.
Yeah. So Adam 12 was on guitar, who's the Adam I mentioned earlier.
Tell me their crazy names. It's just his numbers learned.
M33. Another guitar. That's what we have.
Okay.
That's what we have.
Well, let's dive into this thing. Track 1, An Eye Is Upon You. All right, I sound like I'm on a spaceship already.
Spinning complacently in the darkness, covered and blinded by a blanket of little lives, false security has lulled the madness of this world into a slumber. Wake up. An eye is upon you, staring straight down and keenly through, seeing all that you are.
So this is how the whole first track goes.
Yeah, it's a long...
Never be.
Yeah.
Yes, an eye is upon you.
Okay, yeah.
An eye ready to blink. So face forward, with arms
all
wide
right.
open.
We'll just roll right into track 2. Supernova goes pop.
Future has arrived.
Oh.
Are you ready to go?
Oh. It's a hot riff.
I'm not mad at it.
So these vocals are basically like Rob Zombie / Marilyn Manson level, you know.
Well.
Yeah. I mean, considering his genetic makeup, I mean, it could only go one way, right?
Yeah, well, speaking of Spider One's genetic makeup, he is Rob Zombie's younger brother. His legal name is Michael David Cummings.
Michael David Cummings.
Better known as Spider One.
Spider One.
Yeah, he is Rob Zombie's younger brother.
Okay.
So they're both doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Supernova Goes Pop, and I also really like the spooky sci-fi intro.
Yeah.
The dude that's speaking on that, his name is Malachi Throne, and he was an actor, and he was on Star Trek, and he was in Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea. Then he was in Lost in Space and Land of the Giants.
This guy's
Tunnel.
Oh my God, his resume speaks for itself. I mean, it's a good start, good production. Everything's like clean. It's not too slick. And I believe who's our producer on this album? I think we got
Sylvia Massey and Ulrich
Wild.
Yes, Ulrich Wild.
Well, Sylvia Massey's got a pretty impressive resume. She did the first two Tool albums. She did Opiate and Undertow, I'm pretty for sure. Or she co-produced them with Flood, I think.
Yeah, I mean, between, like, she produces, engineers, mixes every, like, a ton of stuff. I mean, she engineered some Prince albums. I don't know, man. She's got like an intense and awesome resume.
Yeah.
And this is the first time we've had a woman producer.
Yeah.
So there we go. See, I knew I liked this for some reason when I was younger.
There we go. Yeah. So, I mean, strong open.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the video. I watched all the videos for this album. This video is a live performance one, which is the first time I realized that videos or not, Spider-1 and the crew are always going to be walking around in super jumpsuits with accoutrements of, I don't know, they have like plastic air tubes or something on them, like in case they get sucked out of the airlock or something. I don't know. But a dedication to the bit. Like, we are Power Man 5000. We wear super suits and we have goggles and we wear them all the time, not just in our videos.
Yeah, I mean, they're absolutely dedicated to the bit all the time, all the way. And this also I want to mention, it's sort of a concept album,
I'd
say. Closest thing to a concept album we've done.
I think so, yeah.
I just wanted to mention that because I love concept albums. So I was very excited that...
I didn't realize it was one until about halfway through. So my notes kind of reflect as I realized that this is about something, because I was noticing a connection in the lyrics. And then I was like, oh, wait. But I don't know if what I've figured it out to be is what it is. So we'll find that out as we go along. So the next song is the big single that we all know, that we apparently all dance to at City Club, When Worlds Collide.
Love this song.
Activate the pit at City Club.
Yeah. Pay someone $5 to take their shirt off.
Oh, man. Good hook. Right away, I was very taken with the fact that, like the pop instincts were much more than I expected. I don't know if I thought this album would be a little sludgy, but it is not. It's very sharp, and really strong hooks. And when I looked and saw that they had like three singles with videos off this album, I was like, yeah, like they had tracks to use. And this album, I believe, is incredibly respectful of our time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. This album comes in at a cool 39.09.
39.09.
Very appreciative.
Wow.
Of that.
Look at that.
Yeah. When Worlds, this is by far their most popular song.
Oh, yeah.
At all, but especially off this album. You know, Lauren, you're not the only person who had something to say about what these songs are about.
Yeah.
Went out to my new favorite website, songmeanings.com.
Songmeanings.com!
And I found a lot. People had a lot of opinions about what this might be about.
Okay.
But most of it was written in the style of a dissertation. So I'm just going to read the top comments that we have on here.
Okay.
This, I want to say, people using songmeanings.com in 2002... we're not respecting what this is about. One person says, this is rock. Go ahead and mosh the place up. And I appreciated that. And the other one that I really loved.
Go ahead and
mosh the place up.
Mosh the place up.
Go ahead.
Just mosh it up.
This is rock. Go ahead and mosh the place up. Mm-hmm. And the other.
Did somebody's mom write that?
It's possible.
As you do, mosh it up.
Mosh it up. Just clean up after yourselves.
Well, hey, this is rock, kids. Go ahead and mosh the place up.
Yeah.
Just mosh it up.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. And the other one that I loved was, it sounds cool and better on Little Nicky. Which is because this song was on the Little Nicky soundtrack.
No. Oh, wow.
Yes.
Oh,
no.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And let me tell you, this song has been on so many soundtracks. It was on the Spawn soundtrack. It was on Little Nicky. It was on Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2.
I'm assuming it was in... Okay, go ahead.
You're assuming it was what?
Well, Spawn is before... it. So I don't know how it could have been in Spawn. I don't want to call bullshit on Wikipedia.
Well, I'm just reading Wikipedia.
Yeah, I don't know how that... Yeah, because Spawn's like 97.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
There's only one Spawn movie. There's only one Spawn movie. I hate to break it to you guys.
Well, I'll take a look into this.
I don't know how it could have...
And it was also in Mission Impossible 2. which is possible.
Because well, I love Mission Impossible 2, and as someone who's seen it many times, I can tell you that I don't remember when it was in it, because that movie is all about the Limp Bizkit cover of the theme song. But if they say it, but they also said it was in Spawn, so who knows? Yeah, but it's definitely in like a ton. Like, yeah, I think it's...
sorry to say it is not on the Spawn soundtrack.
Oh, no. Wikipedia.
Stabbing Westward is.
But... oh, yeah. Well, no, I got the Spawn soundtrack. That thing's like a mashup thing. Crystal Method and Filter, Marilyn Manson and Sneaker Pimps, Korn and the Dust Brothers. Yeah. But yeah, there's no Power Man 5000.
I have been shamed by Wikipedia. I'll never go back.
Oh, my God. Maybe somebody was reading Spawn while listening to Power Man 5000. That has definitely happened.
I'm sure of that.
I'm sure of that. He was reading Spawn, listening to Power Man, and then he got a text from Jenny saying, let's go to City Club.
Yeah.
And that was that.
That's probably true.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, this is a good song. We're on a good start here. So let's talk real quick. So Jenny, I know you have this deep history with this album.
Mm-hmm.
Have you watched any of the videos from this album?
Not since they were on MTV.
Okay. So When Worlds Collide is basically like a low-budget Flash Gordon with Spider-One in the Flash Gordon role, shooting lasers out of his hands, fighting a Ming the Merciless who looks like he's a mix of Ming the Merciless and the guy we were just talking about before we started recording, it's Pinhead. Cenobite guy from Hellraiser. Yeah. And so Spider-One shoots him with a laser out of his hand. And then I watched the video for Nobody's Real, which is the next song, and Spider shoots lasers out of his hands then. And I remember thinking, you know what? That's refreshing to see this guy's got this money. He's got this successful album and he's going to make videos. And he's like, make sure I get to shoot lasers out of my hands. Because that's like, you know, that's a dream. Fulfill
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I mean,
you know,
I believe there are photos of him shooting lasers out of his hands somewhere in this booklet, if I'm not mistaken, or perhaps I just saw a photo of him shooting
laser out of his hand.
Hands.
You know, yeah, yeah. So, that was an interesting video. It was a nice change of pace from a lot of the, you know, Stained hanging out in a warehouse full of, you know, screaming people, which is a real thing. That's
Stained.
The video. That's the video for Mud Shovel. I don't know. Thanks to everyone who has posted pictures of Aaron Lewis with red eyebrows on the Facebook. Thank you. I believe my buddy Justin did that. So thank you, Justin, for having that now. Matt Nas, thank you for the screenshot of the black Aaron Lewis
turning into birds.
That's great. Love having that. I might make that our background for a while. if you haven't listened to the Stained episode, it's the one before this one. All right, track four, Nobody's Real. First line of this song, I didn't know what it was, so I was driving around, and then when I sat down with the lyrics, I was so surprised to find out that it was what I thought it was. We'll let it play. Great hook. I think this is probably the best song in the album.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
The line in question is right at the beginning, scary monsters and super peeps.
That's
peeps. P-E-E-P-S. I was like, he's not saying super peeps. He is saying super peeps. So I don't know what that is. I don't know how that fits into the concept of the album. No, this is when I started to realize there was a concept.
Okay.
And it took me four tracks. I'm slow in the pickup. With this one. So this is what I have. This is the three things I had at the time. And I know that two of them are wrong now. But at the time, as I took the notes, I was like, it could be one of these three. So you either are giving yourself over to your robot overlords, or it's about virtual reality, which is what the music video is about, or it's about jerking off. That's what I have.
What? Where did the jerking off thing come from?
This is the thing. I didn't realize yet that it was a concept album. So I was thinking, like, I'm literally taking notes
so
and I'm like,
you're like, one of these songs is about jerking off.
Well, this is where I went from it, okay? Because I'd already gotten to the nobody's real thing. And then I'm like, is this song about, like, people that aren't interacting with other people and they're just, like, interacting with screens and their computers? Because this is like, you know, the internet is a thing. It's not quite the thing that it is now, but the internet was still sort of seen as this sort of crazy thing. And like, basically like, oh, you're going through that. You're meeting through people to that. You're masturbating to that. Da, 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 da.
Okay. Okay. Well, you took that to a place.
I sure did. But obviously that's wrong.
Well, Sherlock Holmes has this to say.
Wait, actual meanings. Sherlock Holmes?
This is their name on song meanings.
Oh, it's got to be the real Sherlock Holmes.
Probably.
2002, right?
2006.
Oh.
This came in later. Okay. This is about the theory of reality not being all we see and that everything we perceive as reality is in fact an illusion. Could be about not trusting people as well, I guess. But I think the intention is about the first sentence here. Thank you, Sherlock Holmes. That's... I you know what? I haven't just been going to song meanings for new metal. It's my favorite new thing to browse.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think it's about jerking off. I think that you were probably right when you started leaning into the it's a concept album.
Right.
Thing.
So it's about robots or is it about virtual reality?
Why not both? Not both? One of my favorite pieces of this album artwork, which is awesome. It looks like an old-timey like sci-fi comic. It's yes. Great, but there is a robot on the back that kind of looks like a Dalek. You ever watch Doctor Who?
I've never watched Doctor Who, okay, but I'm familiar with what a Dalek looks like.
Doesn't that look like a Dalek?
Yeah, now that you point it out. Yeah. That is a good point.
Great.
And also, I mean, the fact that it looks like it's been like cut out. You know?
Yes.
And it has these like fake frayed parts here.
Here being the lower.
Thank you. Yeah.
Corner.
Here where I'm pointing at.
Sure.
People at home.
How many inches is this?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think this is the best album artwork we've seen so far.
Really?
Yes. This is by far my favorite.
You
I
like
love
this?
It.
You like this better than the Deftones cover?
yes. The thing that I was like, there's no way this is just something that sucks stuff out of your nose. And it was. I kind of miss the Deftones, though. We should do another Deftones.
We should probably do another Deftones. You know, speaking of who's tweeting, we've got a lot of people tweeting at us now.
Which is great.
Which is super awesome. So many great people. I can't name all of them. I will name Caleb. I believe his name is Caleb, who's been tweeting at us. And he actually tweeted at me recently, when are you doing Around the Fur?
Ooh.
So he's putting out the call.
Hey, Caleb.
He's putting out the call.
I love it.
I love Around the Fur, so I would love to do that one.
Yeah. Also, obviously, our friend JR tweeting at us. Appreciate that. Also, we can kind of go to this. Is Catherine around or did she leave?
She's right.
She's right there. Can we get Catherine in?
Yeah, one second.
Okay. Catherine, come on in for a second. Catherine,
come in here.
Catherine is my wife.
Catherine is Matt's wife. Never been on the show before, but we're going to put her on right now. Hi, Catherine.
Hi.
So, Catherine, we put out a call for what to call people that listen to the show.
Oh, yeah.
So, we put out Roach Riders as an option,
mm-hmm.
And listener Garrett loves it.
Listener Garrett
loves it.
Mr. Garrett Fuller.
Imagine that.
He was a big fan of that one. And then, Jenny, you had one that I really liked, but you said you might not.
I think it's too feminine.
You think it's too feminine.
But it's Indigo Angels, which marries... The
it's
Indigo Ranch
right.
with Ross Robinson being our angel, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think it's too feminine for...
Maybe that's for the ladies of the Roach Coach.
Hey, where are my Indigo Angels at? Meet me at Harpo's.
Circa 1997.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, forever. Yeah. You never leave once you enter.
Right.
Never.
So we do definitely have one vote for Roach Riders.
No, on the Facebook page.
Oh, yeah. Well, sorry.
When we put the episode up, which I think was the System of the Down record?
I think it was, yeah.
Mm-hmm. When we put that up, there was another gentleman who commented that he was cool with Roach Riders. I'm going to see if I can locate it right now.
He said, "I'm cool with Roach Riders." That's fine.
So yeah, Jesus. So I think you might have named our fan base, Catherine.
That was my suggestion. Wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
it
was.
I remember that?
Yeah.
For a couple that night.
Yeah.
Roach Riders is good.
Roach Riders is good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that people feel that way.
Yeah.
All three of you.
Yeah. Well, four, five, five, I'd
five.
Say. Five.
Maybe
well,
more. Least, probably more.
Probably, well, yeah. We saw this.
Apologies to those other people I did not acknowledge in that moment.
It's okay.
It's okay. Real quick, do you have any past relationship with Power Man 5000?
No.
Okay. All right. Just thought I'd ask why you were here.
Anytime.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks for stopping by.
All right.
Thanks for stopping by your patio. We really appreciate it.
So this song is about more than likely virtual reality and what's that called? The idea that, you know, the world exists only as you acknowledge it, but like when you turn away it ceases to exist. There's like a thing for that. I forget what it's called.
I don't know what it's called, but
okay.
I know what you're talking about.
I feel like this is a heady album.
Yeah.
I guess.
I don't even think we bother to disrespect women in this album.
This album doesn't have time to, because it's talking about literally, I think there's four songs about the end of the world. At least.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure. Well, think about it. Supernova goes pop. So supernova, you're done. When worlds collide, literally done. Because you're mashing worlds together. nobody's real, you're done because nobody actually exists. So there is literally no time to call anyone a bitch.
Okay. I think, yeah, there's no time to call anyone a bitch. Unless if you see a woman and don't call her a bitch, then it doesn't exist. It's quantum mechanics, I think, is what you're talking about.
All right.
But yeah.
Okay. That's definitely a really good song. I definitely really like that song. Have we talked about the fact that Spider One has incredibly yellow hair?
No, we haven't. We haven't described Spider-1's appearance.
Let's talk about what Spider-1 looks like real quick. And he still looks like this. I mean, he's older.
Well,
but he still looks like
this. Yeah, you know, I read an article on Journey of the Frontman or something like that about him. And they asked about his look. And he said, unfortunately, this is just kind of how I look. I used to have really long hair and I dyed it and it turned this weird orange blonde color. And this is just the color it kind of turns whenever I try to dye it. Now,
wow.
I think that's bullshit. He did go on to say that he and his friends would give each other like the worst haircuts. But yes, he has, I would say, probably a good 3 or 4 inch spike going.
Yeah.
It's all bleached. And he's just sticking with it.
Yeah.
And it's just, and he's always dressed like he's ready to board some spaceship.
Oh, yeah. He's literally like, you know, like, he's like, you know what? I will go down with the away team. I will do it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. He's probably ready. On the phone with Richard Branson, just trying to get on that ship.
Track 5 is an interlude, System 1111. This has a whisper rap on it. This is, I believe, the first rap that's actually on the album. Along with the sound of the ship, I don't know, cycling the air through the airlock.
I remember thinking this was so cool.
Oh, yeah.
I was doing like, that. Oh, man.
Yeah, he's like whispering to you like this.
I wish I could rap a little bit.
He sounds like he just woke up in the morning and he's got to spit something at you.
Yeah, like he was having a dream and he woke up and was like, I have to record this.
Yep, that's it. All right, right into tonight, The Stars Revolt.
This is my favorite song on the album.
Well, this riff is so hot.
How could you resist? Tomorrow, because
tonight. Yeah, I wrote all of these songs are about our impending doom.
Yeah, that's probably another big reason why I like this all so much.
And you know, there's just this vague threat. It's coming. When I was listening to this song, I was like, are they talking about that black thing in the Fifth Element? You remember that?
Yeah.
What was that thing called?
I don't know.
But we all love the Fifth Element, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Matt's nodding. He
like it.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, this song's real good. Oh yeah, just a real good riff. I mean, I'm always talking about the drums. This album isn't really about the drums, but I mean, when I hear them, they're tight, they're good. Everybody, I mean, this is a good band. This lineup you said no longer exists, right? Spider-1's the only guy
who's
still in the band.
Well, he's the only person who has always been in the band. And yeah, he's the only one who's still in the band. It's definitely one of those situations where just Spider One.
Right.
Well, I don't know. He's a spider. You know, he had that nickname since he was a kid.
Really?
And then they decided that they would all add numbers to their names. And he's like, well, I guess I'll take one.
Well, so, all right. Okay. Yeah. I mean, he would have been fine with Spider, but yeah.
Yeah.
Spider One. Yeah. So, I mean, this is a strong... I mean, are we at like... Are we? What track was that? I didn't write the numbers down.
That was track 6.
We're practically halfway through the album. And so far, it's just been... Kicking it. And no spoilers, but I don't think there's any ballads on this album.
Well,
are there?
We'll get to the last track.
Oh, okay.
It's not a ballad necessarily, but it's definitely unusual. But I also love it.
And here's the thing I noticed. So the riffs on really, you know, Supernova, When Worlds Collide, Nobody's Real, Tonight the Stars Revolt, it's a similar riff, but I didn't feel like... The songs are tight enough and short enough that it's not like the riff gets worn out.
Yeah.
And it's not exactly the same. And it was one of those things where, like, on my, like, third listen, I was like, I can't be mad. Like, it's a solid riff that they're changing, they're tweaking it just enough. I mean, you wouldn't be able to say it's the same song. Tonight the Storm's Revolt isn't the same song as Nobody's Real. It's, you know. So, yeah. This is good. I mean, it's, you know, it's we're just checking the boxes, the things that we want a new metal album to do. You know?
You know, I don't know if this feels like nu metal to me.
It's on the edge, but it has, because I was definitely thinking about that.
I had that question too, because hearing this, especially Worlds Collide,
right,
does not hit me as a nu metal song.
No, it's more on the industrial metal.
Yep, it's definitely in that Manson,
yeah. This album is listed as nu metal, and which is why I agreed to do it.
Why you agreed? I really had to force it.
No. Because I mean, there are people that have asked us about ones, and I'm like, no. Like, my buddy Mark is like, why don't you guys do Tool? And I'm like, Tool's not nu metal. Like,
flat out.
It's
math rock.
Love Tool. Not going to do them on the show because they're not what we do.
Yeah, I agree that this walks the line, but to me, I don't know. It's not an obviously nu metal album.
No. I mean, I'd also say, like, you know, we added it to the list largely because people were definitely demanding that we do it. But also, I mean, it does have the nu metal tag on Wikipedia.
Yes.
Which is a big determining
factor.
Well,
it also said that When Worlds Collide was on the Spawn soundtrack.
Oh, that's a good point, right? Yeah.
Who can you even trust anymore? Yeah.
But no, but I think it has some crunchy guitar stuff that I would associate with nu metal. There's a later track that we'll get to. Oh, yeah. They Know Who You Are when we get to that. That's a definite nu metal song.
Okay. I can see that.
I think what it is that a lot of... The stuff that we associate with nu metal is a lot of screaming. And Spider One does more singing that I would associate with, like a person creeping around a house. You know, like I always feel like he delivers all of it with like theatrical hand movements.
Yes,
but then also crouch down a little bit. And for some reason, the word that's in my head is Rumpelstiltskin, which I had not thought of. But you know,
straw to gold.
You know, but he's just creeping around. You know, and because that's the thing, the songs are all like tonight. The stars. Revolt! You know, and you're just like, oh, he just popped out, you know?
Maybe... I was supposed to not let you sing on the podcast
anymore.
Right,
you're not supposed to.
Was that part of who's tweeting?
I had no warning. No, it was part of Lauren sending me a text after editing.
Oh my God, you guys. Yeah, a little peek behind the curtain here. So I edit the show, and when I'm editing the show, I'm laughing, whatever. But you know, and honestly, going to the show, I never have gotten to a part where I'm like, embarrassed, you know, like, oh, you know, like I've definitely said, like, oh, I can't believe I said that, but whatever, I'm not like, but hearing myself sing along to Stain songs, and I had to keep it in, I couldn't cut it out, and I was like, I texted you, I'm like, don't let me sing
but
ever
we
again.
Totally pimped you into that.
You did.
That was 100%.
Yeah, you have to give me warning if you're gonna sing because I don't know how else to stop you.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, I was just sort of imitating.
Yeah. You're right though, the only actual screaming that happens on the album happens a little bit later.
Yeah.
And it's not even Spider One that's doing the screaming.
That's a good point. So Tonight the Stars Revolt, your favorite song on the album.
Yep, love it.
It's about impending doom. There's a vague threat coming. I'm deciding that it's the thing from the Fifth Element. What it's called, you let us know in a tweet.
Who's tweeting?
Who's tweeting?
You.
Yep. Next song is Automatic. Oh, this is kind of funky.
Yep.
Yeah, because this guitar is more... Matt, do you have something? All right.
I do have something, but it's for when we come back to who's tweeting.
Okay, fair enough. So what is this song about, Jenny? I've got four things that I think it might be about. None of them are jerking off.
Okay.
Oh, you'd stepped out of the room, Matt. That was a theory I had for Nobody's Real.
I have no idea what this song is about. I didn't check song meanings, but I can right now.
Okay, so these are the things that I think it could be about. It could be about God. It could be about artificial intelligence. It could be about the sun, or it could be about natural selection.
Okay.
Those are the four things I think it could possibly be about. Just like the automatic part being like the sun hits you, things automatically grow. But also if you get too close to it, it will automatically kill you. That was where I went with the sun part.
Well,
yes.
Dark Circle for Life.
Okay. Reliable.
Yes. This is in 2002.
Okay.
It's saying how the young are brought up to live a certain way, and we are all supposed to follow the same rules and be brilliant sheep. Because now, just instead of just being a sheep in a herd, you're expected to be smart too. That's what Dark Circle for Life
is. You know what, Dark Circle for Life? Thanks.
I think you nailed it. I think you nailed the
I'm
Dark
sorry.
Circle.
I'm sorry, Dark Circle.
I think you nailed the Dark Circle. Hey, you know what Dark Circle is? That's the thing from the Fifth Element. So
bingo.
He was commenting.
Yeah, can I just be a Dark Circle? I have to be smart, too.
I got to be smart, too.
For life.
I just want to wipe out the universe. Okay. Jenny, what do you think of this song?
I like it. I don't know. It's not one of my favorites. It doesn't really stand out, but I think it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's different enough
from
Tonight's Stars Revolt that, you know, it's like a nice change of pace.
It is. Yeah. I wrote that as well. Okay. Next one. Oh, wait. So Matt, you had something in regards to who's tweeting.
Yeah. Going back to who's tweeting. I don't know if we know this person or if they found us.
Okay.
So last week's episode, during who's tweeting, I tweeted at Wes, not Wes, I tweeted at Fred Durst.
Yes.
Matt and Noss.
Sorry, guys.
Never tweet at Wes without telling us first.
Yeah. To make sure that it's appropriate.
Yes.
Fred, I can tweet whatever I want to at. So I tweeted at Fred. Nobody responded. Got a lot of likes.
Right.
And one of the likes that we got was from this guy named Caleb Schuss, or
that's Caleb.
Okay,
that's Caleb who asking us about the Round the Fur.
Okay, well, he also made a composite of the people Jenny would new metal artists that Jenny would have coffee with.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you, Caleb.
So I don't know if you've seen this, Jenny, but it made me laugh very hard. It's new metal art, and it's like perfectly a really hard to read new metal font.
Wow.
So on the front, it says new metal artists I'd have coffee with.
Yeah.
Wes lists, Borland.
Wes.
Yeah.
Rob Flynn.
Mm-hmm.
Max.
John Otto. Fieldy.
Yep. And on the back.
But never Surge on the back. Oh, I love it. I love it.
Oh, my God. So that's our first fan shirt.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Caleb.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wear it loud and proud.
Yeah. Wow.
Until you see Surge, and then I would just press myself against the wall. Be like, what? No, I'm not turning around. Who wouldn't you have coffee with? I saw that.
Come on, let's talk about the economy.
But he was also Caleb was one of the people who liked my tweet.
Oh.
Out to Fred.
Very nice.
Very nice.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Caleb. Caleb's tweeting. All right. Back to the album. This track, I want you to say what the song is called.
The Son of X-51.
The Son of X-51.
Shut up, I love it.
I know! knowing that that young Jenny was like, yeah, into this.
It's cool.
Oh, now this is some straight up Rob Zombie shit right here. That's what this sounds. This like sounds like this could be something off Astro Creep. What was the big song for Astro Creep? Not More Human Than Human. What was the other one?
Thunderkiss.
Electric Head.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh
yeah. All right. What I like about this is it's got this heavy riff, but Matt, turn it back up on this hook right here.
Okay.
It's coming up. It's like a poppy hook. I think you should pay someone $10 at City Club to dance to this song without a shirt on.
Sure. I make more money now, so I can do
that. There you go. Okay, so we're deep into the concept.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're deep into the concept of this album at this point. And so I wrote that this is a song about a robot gaining consciousness and realizing that it can kill all people.
Sounds close enough to me.
Okay. Songmeanings.com got anything?
It's about how people are fake, according to Songmeanings.com.
Oh.
Also, a couple of people said, best Power Man song.
It's real good.
Yeah.
It's real good.
Sounds to me that the guy is everyone's who's surrounded by fake people. That's what Agent O'Neill said. Mm.
I guess I was just really... I think I was definitely influenced. In the liner notes, the songs are separated in the lyrics by chapters.
Right.
And this song is in chapter 3, but each chapter has this little robot picture next to the chapter icon here. And so I started thinking, they're talking about transmitting and, you know, waiting for your time to leave surrounded by people you'll never know. And I'm like, is this a robot that's like slowly becoming more sentient and like realizing that it doesn't like people and like it realizes that it'll never be them. And it's got these metal limbs, which are dangerous, and realizing at a moment I could just take somebody out, whatever. And I'm a robot, so I don't even care, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it could very well be.
I mean, unless it's a robot that follows Asimov's rules of being a robot. No, that's just a whole other thing.
I don't know. No rules for these robots, no. As far as I can see.
No rules for robots.
No rules for these robots. Were the robots in Power Man 5000, do they follow Asimov's rules? Nope!
Sure don't.
Uh-huh. Okay.
All right, up next. Another great one. Oh, did you have something else?
Nope. I was waiting for you to say it.
Operate Annihilate. I also love this song.
Well, yeah, I could see... I mean, right now, I'm just seeing young Jenny just, like, groove into this bass.
Oh, man. Definitely rollerblading around the neighborhood with this.
Here it comes. That's a pretty good scream.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Good job, Spider.
Good job, Spider.
It definitely, coming from my industrial past, it gives me a lot of that Manson. It gives me a ton of KMFDM. Mm. Gives me a lot of like that influence.
Right. I mean, this
but
is...
But it's cleaner, it's a lot more... Like, if I were to play KMFDM right now, you would be like... The sound is similar, but very distinct between the two.
Yeah, I feel like I feel like if I listened to this album cold without doing a podcast all about nu metal, I would have been like, no, this isn't nu metal. But having listened to as much as we have, there are parts in the guitar and the crunch and the vocals that I'm like, nah, this is like a nu metal. This slots in there. I mean, these guys could have totally, I mean, who knows? Maybe they did they do a Family Values tour? I mean, I feel like this would slot in fine.
I'll check.
Yeah, I'm not sure. They did a tour not too long ago that was in Bay City. And Spider One.
Really?
Yeah, he wrote a tweet that was like, get ready, Bay City. We're going to rock the shit out of you. And I'm like, not going to be too hard, Spider One.
Oh, man, Bay City.
No offense. I like Bay City.
Nice place.
Nice, lovely place, Bay City, Michigan. Probably fairly easy to rock.
Yeah.
I bought a Stone Temple Pilots shirt in Bay City, Michigan.
Really?
I sure did.
I thought you didn't like Stone Temple Pilots.
I don't, but I well, wanted to wear
the
shirt.
That's how lovely it was. That you were like, I'll buy their shirt.
Why not?
All right. Oh, we should mention, we are recording tonight and not seeing Head PE at the machine shop.
Yeah, we're not seeing Head
PE. I know a lot of people.
They'll be back.
They're back in December.
Yeah, they're back at the Token Lounge.
Token Lounge.
That's right.
Yeah.
Site of my high school reunion.
That's right. Deep cut. Listen to the old episodes.
Yep.
So you're going to love what I thought this song was about.
I can't wait.
I thought this song, well, this is me questioning. Is this about, going back to our robot in the previous song, is this about a robot going to a really wild party and saying, I must kill you all? That was what I thought this song might be about. Like, he's at the party because there is this sound of like moaning people that's running underneath the verses. And I thought of like, is he like walking? Like, I imagine if this album had been an even bigger hit and they were just going deep in, they're making videos for every song. I'm just imagining like Spider One and he's wandering into like, you know, what would probably be a PG-13 version of like the club from Irreversible or something like that. And it's just like, you know, crazy stuff going on, but you know, whatever. And then, and you know, he's just like, I'm a robot. I shouldn't be here. I could, you know, that. Yeah. I'm just imagining every song is about a robot that wants to kill people. I'm looking already at my notes for the next song and I see the word kill. So, I mean, yeah, I'm really stuck on this idea that this album is about a robot that just needs to kill. I mean, it could be, I don't know.
Yeah.
Tweet us.
Who's tweeting?
Who's tweeting? Yeah, I mean, Annihilate is in, you know, the title, so I can see where you're getting the death stuff from. So, I really don't know.
Jenny's pulling no punches.
Well, that wasn't meant to be mean. You know, usually I drink a beer when we do this. I'm drinking a glass of wine tonight, maybe, maybe it's just making me mean. I don't know.
So like Dark Side of the Moon didn't tell us in song meetings what it might mean?
No. No. Sometimes in song meetings, what happens is if nobody comments on a song, people will just say, how can nobody comment on this song? And that's all there was. The song is fucking awesome. Why isn't anybody commenting on it? That's what was there for this one.
All right. I like this one. Another song. So far, there have been no songs where I'm like, no.
That's
something to be said for that.
I agree.
All right, next one. Blast Off to Nowhere. Special appearance by
Big Bro.
Robert Zombie. Rob Zombie, as you know.
Robert.
Yeah, Robert.
The numeric transmission 5000 was received repeatedly.
Is this Malachi again?
Yep.
Okay. Days. It's a cool name.
The kid from Children in the Corn. Suddenly, his name was Malachi.
Really?
Yeah, he was a little creeper.
Oh, well, those Children of the Corn, they're trouble. I think that was the tagline, right?
Yeah, they're trouble.
They're trouble. This is the first time where I was like, ooh, listen to these drums. So, the thing I like about this, so this song is basically, at this point, the robot that I've been talking about. Stick with me here. he has killed everyone, I think,
mm-hmm.
or is by himself, and he's very bored. And so he's being voiced here by Rob, and he says, "Please kill me now or get me off this rock." And he doesn't care where he goes, just he needs to be away from here. So actually, thinking of it now, he probably didn't kill the people, but he doesn't like them.
Yes. Because yes. After that, the robot would say, "Because I can't stand to see your faces, and I can't stand to hear you talk."
Yeah.
"If I had a nickel for every time I felt this way."
I feel like you've said to me before, "Shoot me into space, Lauren." Like,
yes, just, yeah. I know that I have. Like, please, I just need to be away from here. You just fucking shoot me to the moon right now. I need to get away. I like this song a lot.
I like the song a lot, too. Yeah, this is a good one. Good to hear, Rob. I'm feeling maybe down the line, maybe, I mean, if we're doing this one, maybe we should do that first Rob Zombie one.
Interesting.
Which is, what's that called?
Dragula?
Well, that's the song. What's that album called?
I have no idea.
We're some real Rob Zombie experts over here. We don't know what any of his songs are called, well, none of his albums.
We saw him.
We did.
I found another band that this completely reminds me of.
Yes.
And it's a band called Hansel and Gretel.
Oh, yeah.
The fact that that's how you said it is
even
better.
That's how it's pronounced.
Okay. I mean, yeah.
Are you familiar with Hansel and Gretel?
A little bit. A little bit, yeah.
Do you like Hansel and Gretel?
I'm not saying it, but...
So they took a really weird turn later in their career, but their first two records are pretty Ausgeflippt and Transmissions from Uranus. That's right.
There you go. Lauren, we got to get you to City Club.
You guys. In 99, I was listening to Limp Bizkit, but I was also listening to the New Radicals. I was a very sheltered young man, okay?
Yeah. This I wasn't is 97 for that. Me. So. I wasn't listening to that when I was in 99.
No, I feel like if I rollerbladed up to you and I was like, "You heard, you get what you give," you'd be like, "Push me," and then you'd
That's
be like,
true.
"Blast off to nowhere, you dummy."
And then if Matt rollerbladed up to me and said, "Are you listening to Hansel and Gretel?" I'd be like, "A goth." It's a real life goth.
His pants, so large.
I would definitely have taken solace in that. We probably would have competed to see who had the bigger pants. The first Rob Zombie album is called Hellbilly Deluxe.
That's the one.
That's, yes.
Yes.
Yep. I didn't even have that on the tip of my tongue.
Like, yeah. Gone. I wouldn't have guessed. I could describe the CD itself to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
But I could not remember the title.
Rob Zombie's face, right?
No. It was like a weird black and white drawing. I mean, that was the album cover was his face.
Oh, okay. The CD itself. The disc itself.
Yes, I listened to that disc quite a bit.
Oh. What's the? Isn't there an interesting thing on the disc for this album?
It's their name and then a couple of skeletons. Well, skull. It's a skull. I was like, what's a skeleton head?
It's a skull. We can't remember what anything is today.
No.
Skull.
A skull in like a little Martian hat. What is this thing called, Lauren? You have to tell them what it is.
Okay, so it's a skull in an old-fashioned sci-fi
space
movie
helmet.
Space helmet with antenna.
A Martian hat.
A Martian hat.
It's a skeleton head and a Martian hat.
Skeleton head and a Martian hat.
Doing great.
Yep. All right. Next song.
I tried. I had nothing.
Oh, man. All right. They Know Who You Are. Oh, is that a helicopter? That's a helicopter.
Is it?
It sounds like a helicopter. Isn't that that clipping sound underneath the guitar? You not hear it?
No, I hear it. I just don't know if it's a helicopter.
Whoa. Hello. Hello. Activate the pit, Matt. There it is.
Go ahead and get in that mosh pit.
Go ahead and mosh. Was it mosh it out? Is that what it was?
I don't remember.
I don't remember anymore. It's gone. This is the most nu metal song in the album.
Hmm. I agree with you there.
Yeah. Yes.
Maybe. Might agree with you.
Might agree with
I
me.
I might agree with
okay.
you.
I love this part. This is what I spent $5.99 on right here. This is
it. Oh, yeah.
This song is about, and this one I was not questioning, I knew exactly what this song is about. Okay. This song is about the surveillance state and you hear that helicopter flapping around at the beginning. And I also believe it predicts drone warfare.
Okay.
Ah, man. Ooh, okay. Spider One.
Gauntlet thrown.
He had his eyes to the sky, but he was thinking forward.
All right.
All right.
Okay.
And I like it.
Yeah, I like that song a lot, too.
Yeah.
Next song on here. This is a real rough moment for me. And I
this
feel
is
like,
a rough moment for you.
Oh, very rough moment.
Oh, no.
And I think this might be the most nu metal song on the album.
Good Times Roll.
Cover.
Cars cover.
Featuring DJ Lethal.
Ooh, how did I miss that?
Ooh.
The old credits here. With Turntables by DJ Lethal.
Let the good times roll. Let them knock you around. Let the good times roll.
Oh yeah, this is the most nu metal song in the album. This is a good cover. And also, Spider One, I don't want to say he sounds like Rick Ocasek, but it's a little bit. Like, for everybody who, like, mirrors it, like, Rick Ocasek, Spider One has something, a bit in his voice that I would call a bit of almost, if you were to say he croaks out his vocals, I don't think that would be out of line.
Sure.
And Rick Ocasek sometimes has a croak to it, you know, and I think that makes it better is that I think there's a lot of these nu metal covers where these guys are just screaming the lyrics and not even trying to sound it. And this is one of the more put together covers, which I'm going to attribute to Miss Sylvia Massey, unless she didn't produce this song. Did she not produce this song?
I'm not sure.
Let me see. I think they, because it was like half Ulrich, produced by Ulrich, track 12. Okay, this is Ulrich. Okay, anyway.
Well, you could still give her credit if you want.
You know, listen, she produced...
Learned a lot of lessons.
I'm learning so much. You know what? Sylvia produced... she did track 10.
That's it?
She did, but... No, no, no. Sylvia... Okay, Sylvia produced track 1, 3, 4, 6, 8, 9, 10, and 13.
Did Worlds Collide.
She did.
Good for her.
And Nobody's Real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I really don't like this cover.
Oh.
And I think it's because I really like the Cars. And I was like, I don't need this. And because this is so far outside of what the rest of the album is.
Really?
I think so. Like, what is a cover doing in a concept album?
I took it to be that they put it in there as, like, this is Power Man 5000 being ironic. You know what I mean? Because think about it, we have all this doomsday worlds colliding, and it's like, let the good times roll.
Yeah, I can see that. I guess it just wasn't for me, but I respect your opinion.
Thank you so much. Ah, man, yeah, wine makes you sassy. That is definitely for sure.
What are you talking? I was just nice to you.
Yeah, you were. You were. I like that one. And now we're into the last song.
Mm-hmm.
Which is Watch the Sky for Me.
Rest assured, listener, that my time
my man Malachi
has not been easy, and what you have just heard was not fiction. Although, in many a desperate moment, I most certainly wish it had been. It's over for now, it seems. Or at least... until yesterday begins again. Tomorrow.
Young Jenny, what did she think of that yesterday begins again tomorrow?
I wasn't so sure. I don't remember what I thought about that.
All right, so we are now into this, which is a lounge song, basically?
Yeah.
I like that Spider One does not change how he sings for this lounge style.
Oh, no.
Also, this is weird, sort of. I don't know. Well, no, I guess it's like.
It has a Happy Trails.
Yeah.
Is that.
So.
This is a stretch, but are they going for kind of a. How I Learned to Love the Bomb?
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yeah.
Watch the sky for me.
Something else that was said about this. Citation needed, so.
Citation
let's
needed.
Let's not take this too much to heart.
This could be some Spawn soundtrack shit.
It could be. It is about another soundtrack. It says this sound has its entire melody taken from One More Kiss, Dear, from the Blade Runner soundtrack. And I don't know if that's true, but I can definitely see where whoever put that on Wikipedia was coming from.
Okay. This is, you know, essentially about the apocalypse in a lot of ways. And then is it a secret track or is it just like a pause before the sort of weird wailing noises rock out ending?
Yes. And there's like a weird electronic situation that happens toward the end of the song. Yeah.
And then that's it.
That's it.
That's Tonight the Stars Revolt.
Yes, it is.
Jenny, thoughts on this going into the new metal canon?
Well,
before you do that,
yeah,
I would like to submit for your approval, well, One More Kiss, Dear, from Vangelis, from the Blade Runner soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Citation needed.
Given that citation. Citation, Roach Coach Podcast.
Yeah.
And the introduction to Hansel and Gretel's Transmission from Your Anus, circa 1997.
Uh-oh. if Hansel or Gretel's like just starts doing that intro or something, I'm going to be freaked out. Jesus Christ. Are we about to listen to the album again? It's got the same intro.
Yeah, this is track one, Black Forest Galaxy. I don't think there's any talking on this. I think you might get like a X-ray Leader 1 type.
I feel like I'm listening to like, you know, the ambient noise on the Enterprise. That's what it sounds
exactly.
like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm gonna skip ahead a little bit because we're almost there.
Okay.
I think we're almost there.
Oh, that's unsettling. That's unsettling.
That's Children of the Corn.
That's some straight up, yeah. Don't trust those guys.
You are being taken under our power to your destination.
Now, granted, this is pretty much, it's a trope, you know, it's a cliche.
Sure.
So it's not like Hansel and Gretel was the first first group to do this.
But I think they're the first group that's like, let's take the sound of a starship and science fiction and put cackling children on top of it. That's right. Unsettling. That's a weird mix.
Right.
And that was like a star, falling star, right?
Total falling star. All right. Well, I've made you sit through this. Let's see how this transitions into the first song.
Okay. I was going to say, yeah.
Which, by the way, in 97, I loved this. So.
Yeah. This was you on Rollerblades?
Oh, this was me on Rollerblades.
Okay. All right.
But this is me in City Club, like.
On Rollerblades still.
Dancing my guts out.
What?
So this is pretty much Power Man 5000.
This is it. We're just listening to the album.
It's a good thing I didn't have access to this.
Oh, man. Matt, what I'm going to need you to do is I need you to get a razor. I'm going to just shave my head all the way to the back and then just throw a ponytail down my back. Just an idea I'm having right now.
You want to borrow some of my hair?
I'm just going to borrow some of your hair.
You're
going
to get a flare.
You're just going to call me Mary Beth.
No. I know. I was thinking of something else.
I said you're going to get a pair, which you might have.
Yeah.
You're going to get a pair of Oakley razors.
Yes. I'm going to grow these out. Four inch nails. And and then that'll be my look.
My greatest dream in this world is to see Cybergoth Lauren. But I want you to be pushing your son in a stroller.
Oh yeah.
Casually.
Yeah. Yes.
I had to play that for you guys mainly as a major point of reference for me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And probably these guys. I mean, like,
oh my god, yeah.
The Hansel and Gretel toured with at least KMFDM, which Rob Zombie 100% would have been aware of, and so would Spider-1 been 100% aware of KMFDM. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Power Man did a better job of taking it to another level.
I think
taking it to a mainstream level
as
well.
Yeah, for sure. I think the key part of it is like that intro is what?
A minute 57. Too long.
Yeah. The intro on this is, I mean, this is the thing. This album, we say it's respectful of time, but I mean, like, these songs, like, they waste no time getting to the hook. They are all about, let's get to the big hooks and everything, and they deliver on them too, you know? I mean, I was kind of surprised by the quality of the songwriting on this album for delivering, like, big pop hooks, which I feel like a lot of these other bands don't have it, or they're, like, struggling with it. And, like, here's Power Man, who have, like, I don't know, I would say, like, I don't know, 90% of this album is, like, big pop hooks, just mm-hmm. put through a sort of nu metal industrial sound.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Which was of the time.
Yeah, for sure. I am a little surprised that Rolling Stone panned this album so as hard as they did.
You know who else panned this?
Oh.
Our boy Robert Kreisgau.
Oh, Robert Kreisgau. What did he give it?
It's just a bomb. I came...
Upon your recommendation, I visited his shitty GeoCities site.
Isn't it the worst site?
It's like a Lycos site. It's so bad.
It's pretty rough.
You know who panned Robert Kreisgau, though? People who read his book.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I've heard his book. I want to read it, but I know that it's got some issues. Yeah.
Looks like it. Three stars. That's how many stars his book has.
Oh,
wow.
Whoa.
So
that's
when the reviewer gets reviewed.
Yeah.
That's right. So Robert, watch your mouth. Watch your bombs.
Okay. So is this canon worthy? Do we want to put this in the canon?
I think it's absolutely a great album.
Yes.
I don't know if I think it's a nu metal album. Mm. So I'm going to leave it ultimately up to you.
Okay.
It has my blessing to go in the canon, but I'm just still not convinced that this is actually a nu metal album.
Listening to it as many times as I did, the first time I listened to it, I was like, there's some touches of nu metal here. And the second time I listened to it, I was like, oh, there's nu metal here and there's nu metal there. And then when I did my note taking, I kind of went back to my first listen of like, this is nu metal, but then this is like straight up Rob Zombie, proto-industrial, Marilyn Manson type thing. And I just feel like it's not nu metal enough to really be nu metal.
I'm so sad, but I have to agree with you.
I'm with you. Like, I mean, seriously.
It's like literally like, it's one of the best albums we've done on the show.
I agree.
But it is
cover to cover. I've enjoyed every moment of this.
There is nothing painful about this.
No,
it's a fantastic album.
It's a good album. I recommend everybody listen to it, but I just don't think it's nu metal enough to be in the canon to represent the music as it is.
I agree.
How about that?
That is a hard canon. I like that we're drawing lines.
We gotta draw lines, you guys. But I mean, I'm glad we listened to it.
Because I would have if this would have gone in, and this is no joke, I would have been like, then I have a whole bunch of albums that I think are new.
Matt hasn't even had one. Oh, he's sassy. Man.
But you know what I mean?
Like, I know what you mean.
Yeah. It was. Yeah. It doesn't have, when I listen to it, I don't hear like, oh yeah, this is like Slipknot.
No.
Or this is like Korn.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or this is like Limp Bizkit.
Right.
Not at all. Like, no. I hear things that I was hearing in 97 and 94. Way before that sound took over.
All of the reference points I kept going to listening to it were none of them were I would, you know, every album that pretty much that we've listened to thus far, I can go, oh, somebody listened to Korn. Oh, somebody listened to Limp Bizkit. Oh, somebody listened, you know, you could just find the touchstones. But this album, literally you playing the Hansel and Gretel thing was like, no, this is the touchstone.
That's
this
right.
is where it is.
Yeah. I agree.
So,
yeah, going back to it, it's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
Through the new knowledge about the Earth gained from space, Gaia is the Earth seen as a single physiological system, an entity that is alive.
Back to City Club.
Back to City Club we
All
go.
Right. So, yeah, so Power Man 5000, not in the canon, but that is not a call on its quality. It is
not
a call on what it is as a genre, which I would say it's more in a industrial rock sort of sound. Whatever.
I agree with you.
You know?
So
glad I heard it. I recommend it to people, but it is not in the new metal canon.
Agreed.
There we go. That brings us to the end of the episode. Thanks so much for listening. Keep on tweeting at us at Roach Coach on Twitter. Give us a like on the old Facebook. If you like the show, share it on social media and definitely give us a review on iTunes. Always helpful. Always good. We've got one. Why not make it two? Huh?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, let's make it two. And
And on this one, because so many people said that they recommend this for the canon, we're probably going to have people disagree with us hard.
So
I'm open to hearing it respectfully.
Respectfully? Yeah, you are, definitely. You can voice, if you want to voice reason of why you think it should go in, we are open to hearing it. I'm not going to change my
to a brick wall.
Yeah, but... No. I definitely want to hear what people have to say. Because everybody has been incredibly cool and gracious. And I mean, Caleb made that shirt. I mean, that was super awesome. Cool. And, you know, Garrett, I believe, shared the podcast on his Facebook,
you.
Which I appreciate.
Very
that.
Kind.
Yeah, thank you so much. And so definitely, you know, say hi to us and you know, let us know what you think. And I want to hear other albums because we are hearing about albums all the time that we are not aware of that should be considered. Our good friend RJ, right before we came over, asked us to check out an album.
The cover of the album was just like a woman's butt.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And then he sent a lyric to us, and the lyric
something about craving the cooch or something
like that. So,
well, if we listen to it, you better turn your volume down because I'm going to be screaming. Yeah.
But that's down the line. But thanks so much for listening. I'm Lauren.
I'm Jen.
I'm Matt.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Scary monsters and super